There are a lot of reasons that are pretty unique right now to pray for. I sat out on the back porch there at the pastorium early some mornings with a cup of coffee. Later some evenings after a telephone call. And thinking about begging God for mercy. Prayer for His mercy in calming this rampage that of a illness that is beyond the scope of medical ability to stop. Now, it can be treated, and that people are doing that faithfully. But nobody's been able to stop it. Particularly sitting and thinking about those that we love that are specifically affected by it, and the fact that they may be a long way away, and you be totally helpless to do anything about it. Praying for wisdom that our leaders would know how to do and what to do. Praying for direction for the choice of leaders that will be before us later this year. A lot of things that are unique to right now. But then again, every moment that you and I have is a gift from God that is unique and different from any moment that's gone before it, with no guarantee that you're going to have another one that's going to come after it. We live in the right now. And the right now, even though it's part of our lives that may be just like yesterday and the day before that, and we may get to think about our routine, the reality is every gift or every moment that we have is a unique gift that God's given us. And when we pray for the things that we need in that moment, we're praying for a unique circumstance. I'm afraid that simply illustrates to us that many times we take our everyday for granted. And we lose sight in a lot of ways of our dependence upon the Lord in the common day as a unique opportunity. And as I thought about this day of praying, not just for the camp, but for all of the things that are in our minds, I was made to think about one verse of Scripture. I want you to notice with me, please, Luke 11, chapter 1. Now, I'm going to begin this morning in looking at some things from this passage and other surrounding Scriptures. We're going to go back to it tonight. The more I thought about it, the more I decided, well, I won't get through this morning. So I'm going to divide it up, and we'll deal with part of it this morning and part of it this evening. But I want you to notice a question that was asked of Jesus. And it came to pass that as He, that is, as Jesus, was praying in a certain place, and we're not told where it was, but He was in a certain location, and He was engaged in prayer with His Father. And when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. As I sat in the study yesterday, that morphed into an expression in my mind that said, Lord, teach me to pray. You see, we're given the exhortation in the Scriptures in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, to pray without ceasing. It's one of those very brief verses that Paul gives instruction to the church, but it's a very important one. Pray without ceasing, and we can say, well, with everything we got to pray about, I'll never get through. That's all right. An attitude of prayer that stays with us. But what I want you to notice is these men who walk with Jesus every day came to the point where they understood, after watching Jesus and seeing what he did, they understood there was something more that they needed to know. Lord, teach me to pray. Now I want you to notice the context of that question. Back up with me into the 10th chapter. And this is a connection that struck me during my time with this passage yesterday. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Jesus is in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha got upset that Mary wasn't helping her. Martha said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she should help me." Don't you care how hard I'm having to work? Tell her to get up. Tell her to do what I think's important. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Something was needful. Mary understood she needed a time of communion with the Lord. And that is said to be needful time. It wasn't wasted time. It wasn't careless time. It was needful time. Now, keeping that expression in mind, go back to our text verse. Jesus was in a certain place praying. Now, who was he praying to? He was praying to his Father in heaven. Here was God come in the flesh. And yet God had become a man. And as a man, he walked in this earth and he prayed with his Father. Why? Because it was needful. Even for Christ, it was needful in that communion with his Father. It wasn't because he had to make his Father aware. It wasn't that he lacked anything. It was that he needed that time with the Father. And as he was praying, his disciples watched him. And remember, I believe it's Mark's record in one occasion said that Jesus rose up very early in the morning and went out to pray. He would separate himself. John tells us of one occasion in which he sent the disciples out on a boat and he went up into a mountain to pray. You see, folks, Jesus, as our example, we had the line in one of the hymns that we sang this morning. He's a great example. Or maybe it's one of the ones I guess it's one of the ones we got picked out to sing tonight. Excuse me. But there's a line in the hymn. I get all of them running around at the same time in my head and they bump into each other. There's a line that says, "He the great example is and pattern for me." And as they watched Jesus, they came to understand that needful thing that Jesus had said to Mary that existed and wouldn't be taken from her. There was something they hadn't learned yet. These were grown men. But there was something they needed to learn. And their petition was, "Lord, teach us to pray." The answer that he gave them is found in verses 2 through 4. And it's that passage that we think of as the model prayer. the disciples' prayer. When ye pray, pray after this manner: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're familiar with those words that we all learn and we often quote. But what I want you to notice is that expression is given to his disciples in answer to their question, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, in that context, I want you to think with me this morning that while Jesus gave them some specifics about what to pray for, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us as we forgive others, lead us not into temptation, some specific things to ask for. The very context of this passage is that we don't just need to learn how to pray. We don't just need to learn what to pray for. We need to learn to pray. Teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples. First thing I want you to notice is learning to pray is a learned process. It's not something that comes immediately into your Christian experience. You're not born with this ability and desire and conviction to go to the Father in prayer. Now, you're born, you have been born, and manifested it pretty early, like immediately, to cry when you're hungry. You that comes naturally. You go to mama and say, feed me. And sometimes, out of desperation, we go to the Lord regularly and say, Lord, I need this. Lord, give me that. Lord, make this happen. Lord, cause this to be. But that's only a portion. We don't always learn to pray. Sometimes we do minimal. We don't learn the needfulness of that moment. That comes out of experience. That comes out of learning from Jesus. That comes out of watching others that were about us. It's not when we're regenerated, it doesn't come as a full-blown out with our Christianity. You know, we get spoiled. We got an app for this, we got an app for that, and we punch this app on the phone and bingo it happens. We punch that and bingo it happens. Well, prayer is not an app. It's something that is to be applied, but it's not a bingo, it's happening. Lord, teach us to pray. There is in that statement an indication that there's more to it than simply, gimme, gimme, gimme. Lord, teach us to pray. Lead my mind. Bring your word to my awareness. Make me think of what you have taught me in your scripture. John chapter 13, the Holy Comforter. John chapter 14, 14, 15, 16. There's several promises that are given concerning the Holy Comforter, the Holy Ghost, when He comes. But one of the things that was promised was the Holy Spirit would bring the words of Christ to their remembrance. Lord, teach me to learn to hear you as you lead me through your word. Lord, bring your word to my mind. Lord, if I'm going to learn, it comes through the example and it comes through the instruction
of Jesus Christ. Now you can buy books, you can buy a lot of different materials, but the one who is going to teach you to pray, the one who is going to apply it to your life, is Jesus Christ. They watched him. And when he was finished, they said, Lord, basically they said, Lord, we need to be able to do that too. Teach us to do it. Then Jesus gave them a model. But how did he teach them? He lived it in front of them every day. Watching Jesus in his life is a recognition that he is our teacher. And the one to whom we pray is the sovereign God of heaven, who is all wise, who is all capable. Talk with the children this morning. He is one who can do things beyond even our ability to grasp. How big he is, how mighty he is, how wise he is, how powerful he is. And I can go to him in this need. It's needful that I commune with this one. We seem to think it's needful that we watch the weather channel. We want to know when it's going to rain. We want to know how hot it's going to get. We want to know what time the sun's going to come up tomorrow. We want to know what time it's going to get dark tonight. We watch the weather. We want to watch the news because we want to know what's going on about us. We sometimes want to watch the sports to find out what our team's doing. We'd far rather watch than to commune with God. He is the one to whom we need to go. Jesus is our example of doing it, but the Father is the one to whom we need to go. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or in heaven, so in earth. On earth as it is in heaven is Matthew's statement of it in Matthew chapter 6. But what I want you to see is there are three things in this for us to remember. One, God's name is hallowed. It's set apart. We think of it as holy as his name. Well, it is, but holy is from a word which is to be set apart and above us. God is higher than we are. He's our Father. You're not in the expression that came to my mind. You're not in a bargaining match with an employer or an equal. You're not, when you're praying, you're not in negotiation to try to get something you think you want. You're talking with somebody that is out of your league. He already knows everything. You can't bargain with him. He's the one who owns everything. You can't offer him anything that he don't already have. You're not bargaining with God, you're pleading with God. He is the sovereign one. He is the one that gives us life. He is our Father. He is our creator for physical life. He is our giver of spiritual life as he quickens us by grace from death to life. We recognize, we pray to our Father. Therefore, we must trust him. We trust him. We must be content in him. What if he don't answer my prayer the way I want him to? Is he not listening? I must be content in the wisdom and the plan and the purpose of God. That's why Paul could say in the New Testament, I have learned, I know how to be abased. I know how to go without. I know how to be treated, how it feels to be treated badly. I know how to abound. I know how to have good things happen. But I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I'm going to tell you folks, learning to be content is part of learning to pray.
recognizing our Heavenly Father in His wisdom as one wise enough for us to trust and for me to be content in His choice of how He answers my prayer. Even if He chooses to discipline me, to chastise me, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. That's not a matter of surrender as in defeat. Well, he's just big enough, I can't fight with him. No, that's a recognition of submission. He knows what's best. He is the ruler. Lord, teach us to pray. What's the first thing God taught? What's the first thing that the Lord taught? When you pray. You pray recognizing who you're talking to. Our Father, which art in heaven. I'm going to tell you this morning, folks, that's our starting point. That's the thing we keep learning. We forget that. We get settled in our routine. We get busy in our life. We forget the depth of that statement that He is our Father that is in heaven. And He is holy and separate from sinners. He is all wise. He is almighty. Thy will be done. Even Jesus taught us that when He prayed. When He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Nevertheless, Father, not as I will, but Thy will be done. If Jesus prayed it, surely is part of our learning to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. His will be done. Lord, teach me to pray. Go with me to John chapter 14. And I'm going to deal with two scriptures very quickly. John chapter 14. Verses 12, 13, and 14. This is during that period of time when Jesus is, after the Lord's Supper was instituted, after He had washed the disciples' feet, the last night that He was with them before His arrest. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Lord, teach us to pray. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? We are praying to our Father, but if I pray in Jesus' name, well, the first thing, if you're going to pray in Jesus' name, you will automatically pray, Father, not as I will, Thy will be done. Because that's the way Jesus prayed, and Jesus did always those things that pleased the Father. You see, we don't go to the Lord and say, okay, God, you put me down here now. I need X, Y, and Z. I go in Jesus' name. Why do I go in Jesus' name? Because we are chosen in Him. God has placed us in Christ. And when I pray, He's my high priest, and I go in His name. And whatever we ask in His name, which will go with it. Nevertheless, Father, not as I will, Thy will be done. But He will do. We can't pray in the name of Jesus and pray for something that we know is outside of the will of God. He won't hear us. Matthew chapter 21. The Lord teach us to pray. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree. This is where Jesus had cursed the fig tree, and the next day it had withered up.
But also if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Do you believe that God's will is going to be done? You see, it's not just, well, God, I've asked for it. You're supposed to give it to me. But when I ask, believing, I believe that He is the sovereign. I believe that He is the ruler of heaven and earth. I believe that He is my Father who loves me. I believe that His wisdom determines my plan and path in this world. That's part of believing. Not just believe that I'm going to get it, but I believe that He is my Father who is hallowed and who is from heaven and who is the King whose will be done. Lord, teach me to pray. You know what, folks? Learning to pray that way doesn't come easily. And it doesn't come in one fell swoop. I got it. I don't need it. I don't have to worry about it no more the rest of my life. It's a lesson we learn over and over and over and over. We pray for a youth camp. We pray for loved ones who are sick. We pray for our nation and for the struggle that we have. Some of those things we pray for seem to be almost like a pipe dream. Well, I'm throwing up the words, but nothing's happening. Do I believe that my Father, which is in heaven, hears me when I pray? Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me the need of communion with you. Teach me the pattern of prayer. Teach me the importance of prayer, that it comes before other things in my life. And teach me that I come to you in Jesus' name because you put me in Jesus Christ. Teach me to pray, Lord, believing in you, not just believing in what I want. Now, there's some more to this that we're going to get to tonight. There's some hindrances to it. There are some encouragements in it. But what I want you to see, what struck me as I've sat trying to pray and feeling so helpless in what I'm doing, is that when these disciples needed to be taught to pray, it wasn't just teach us how to pray. It wasn't just teach us what to ask for. It was, Lord, teach us to pray. As we deal with the needs in our life, that's our classroom. It doesn't come from Amazon in a package where we read the instructions. No, it comes with what we go through day by day by day. Whether it's a sickness, whether it's dealing with social unrest and questions that we don't know how to answer, whether it's dealing with leadership for a nation that's wide and diverse, it all comes as we go through the experience day by day and say, Lord, now teach me in this. Help me learn what I need to learn. We pray for Camp Sunlight. Lord, help me learn what I need to learn while I'm praying. Help me learn what I need to understand as you answer the prayer. I pray for my children that have been very, very much affected by the virus. Lord, help me to learn as I pray what it is that I'm supposed to pray for, how I'm supposed to pray, how I learn to wait upon you as you show me. You see, folks, the big question is, prayer is not a mechanism to solve problems. Prayer is, first of all, there are problems solved because we pray. I'm not downplaying that at all. But it's, first of all, a matter of communion with God. It is, first of all, that needful thing. Lord, teach us to pray. Father, there's so much we need to learn in our lives. You tell us that we are as babes growing day by day. There are some things that are milk of the Word, and there are some things that are meat of the Word. Knowing that we need to ask you for things is the milk of the Word. Knowing that we need to commune with you and learn in prayer is the meat of the Word. Lord, as your believers, disciples in this Word, teach us to pray. I ask it in Jesus' name for His sake. And amen.